Paraguay. They're with an organization that used to be known as New Tribes Missions, but now is known as Ethnos 360. This is the Twig family, Colton and Tanya Twig, and their four children. Colton's going to share with us what they've been doing and also what God's been teaching them. And I think it's great and it's very appropriate that they're here to tell us what they're doing and what's happening with God's children down in Paraguay. So please welcome Colton Twig, and he's going to teach us this morning.
Thank you. Get myself situated here. Muy buenos días, hermanos. ¿Cómo estamos? Wow. ¡Qué bueno! Hay muchas personas que hablan en español. Soy misionero en Ethnos 360. Yo y mi familia somos misioneros en Paraguay. Who knows what I just said? Who doesn't speak Spanish? All right. It's good to be with you guys this morning. I'm going to be sharing a little bit from God's Word about what God's been teaching personally myself, but then also share about what's going on in Paraguay in regards to our ministry. So here's our family. I brought my own handy-dandy pointer so I can point out people to you. This is my wife. I got to turn it on first here. My wife, Tanya. This is our oldest son, Malachi. Our second son, Noah. Third son, Gideon, and then our daughter, Jehiah. Their names in Spanish are Malaquias, Noé, Gedeón. Jehiah's name they don't say in Spanish because it's a boy's name. It's Jehias. So they just call her Jehiah. Or they say Jaha, which means let's go in Guarani. And we are with Ethnos 360, formerly known as New Tribes Mission. Who's ever heard of New Tribes Mission before? Okay, so we're an organization that works with indigenous tribal people all over the world. Alrighty, go to the next slide, please. This is our purpose statement. It's motivated by the love of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Ethnos 360 exists to assist the ministry of the local church through the mobilizing, equipping, and coordinating of missionaries to evangelize unreached people groups, translate the scriptures, and see indigenous New Testament churches established that truly glorify God. So who is the local church? Is it Ethnos 360? Oh, come on, I like a little interaction here. Wake up, people. It's Sunday morning. No, who's the local church? Us. And whose job is it to evangelize the world? It is ours. It's not Ethnos 360 because that's an organization. So they're just a vehicle by which we have chosen to go through. So who knows where Paraguay is located? If we speak Spanish, where do you think it's located? South America. So there's our flag. It's located in South America. It is a landlocked country located between Brazil, Bolivia, and Argentina. The population is about 6.6 million people for this tiny little country. And it has two national languages, obviously Spanish, and the second, which is Guarani, which is a tribal language that has existed since probably the Tower of Babel. So, but the people still speak it. One neat thing about this country is that it has two different climates. Half the country is a tropical, lush rolling hills climate, and the other is a semi-dry desert climate. And there is a direct line. You cross it, and you're in one or the other. So it's interesting living there. How hot do you think it gets? See. typical summer can get up to 115 with almost 100% humidity. So you open the door, and it's called Insta Sweat. So if you want to lose weight, come visit us. But we don't have much of a winter, just to give you an idea of what it looks like. Winter is about 3 to 4 weeks long, can get down into the 30s, but not like it gets here. All right, our current ministry, we are involved in language study right now. Some people are saying, oh, you're still not done with Spanish study. Well, no. You know, I'm old. No, I'm not that old, but you know, it's been an interesting time for us for our first term, and I'm gonna go into a little more about that. But during our language study, we learn how to learn the language and learn about the culture using the various tools we learned in our training, and we develop a bond with the local community and the local church through learning. So we learn the language to build relationships, not build relationships to learn language, because that's just taking advantage of people. And we learn in practical ways about teamwork, team formation, culture shock. Believe it or not, there's something called culture shock. Family dynamics through the culture and language acquisition program, and about the field's philosophy, purposes, and values. I like this quote, that's why I put it up here, and it kind of goes into what I'm going to be sharing with you guys about this morning. It says, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God desires to change and mature us, that we might be useful tools in his hands. Do you think it's important that we're useful tools? How many of you like to bake or cook? How many like to eat the baked goods? Well, if you don't have all the tools you need or the ingredients you need, it's not going to work, is it? And it's the same with us. If we're not ready to be used as a tool, then we're not going to be effective, are we? During our first term, to give you an idea of what our first year was like, we went to this country speaking pretty much just basic high school Spanish. So you could say hello, goodbye, where's the bathroom, those kind of things. But for us, it was a very lonely time because we couldn't talk to anybody. There were a few people we could talk to, and there were others we couldn't. But it was a very lonely time for us. And I'd say about after the first year, we were like, we're done. We can't communicate with anybody. We're done. But the Lord said, no, you're not. Stay right where you are. And so we continued. We just continued to push forward. We knew that God had brought us there, and we didn't want to quit. So we continued. It got a little better. And then about into our third year, we had lost some support, and there was some loss of communication with some pretty important people, and we just felt really alone. We were still trying to build relationships within the community and the church, and nobody seemed to be very receptive. And I personally, I don't have a lot of friends down there. And so it was very hard for me to make friends. And so I kind of went into this dark place. Went into about 6 months worth of depression. And a lot of people were like, why didn't you write home about that? I'm like, who wants to read about depression in a newsletter? Nobody. But it was during that time that we were really struggling with the language and not getting it. We were not passing into new levels of language. And I remember our language consultant came after one of our evaluations, and she said, you did not move up into the next level. And I was so angry. I got up. I said, excuse me, I got to go. And I just ran outside, and I screamed, and I yelled at God. I said, why? Why did you bring us here if we can't learn Spanish? I'm sure many of you have been in that kind of situation in other areas of your life. And I remember coming back in, and she says to me, "Colton, if you do not move up the next level, then the next level you're going to have to go home." And I said, "Why? Why, God, why?" I never received an answer. But it was about that time that I came across this slide on Facebook. So I stole it. I confessed. I stole it. But it was during that time that I learned how much pride I actually really had. The Lord had to bring me to a point in my life where I was completely broken. And I remember crying out to him and not hearing anything back. And it was around that time I was able to meet with one of our member care people from the mission, kind of like a pastor for missionaries. And he said, "Colton, you need to see your life as like a clay pot." And he said, "So many times we fall off the shelf and we break and we put ourselves back together with super glue. You know, the glue's oozing out of the cracks or parts are kind of upside down or whatever. But that's what happens when we put ourselves back together. We can make ourselves look pretty ugly." And he said, "You need to allow God to shatter you and to put you back together." And I said, "Okay, all right, God, this language study thing, it's yours. I can't do this in my own strength. It's yours. So if I'm going to do this, it's going to be all you." But that's what he wants from us. He wants complete abandonment of anything, just to lay it before his feet and say, "Okay, it is yours. There's nothing I can do to make me learn Spanish, but you can do it through me, the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit." During that time, a friend shared this verse with me. It was Isaiah 41:10. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And originally God's talking to the children of Israel here, but you know what? It applies to us just as much as it applied to them, because we wander away just as much as they did, don't we? So he tells us not to fear. He tells many people not to fear. He told Joshua not to fear. He tells us not to fear because what? He's with us. Even when we don't think he's with us, he's right here. You know, every time I get up in front of people and I speak, if I stand here, my knees are going. But I know God's right there. He tells us, don't be dismayed. Because I'm your God. He's our God. We have nothing to worry about, do we? Because we know that he belongs to us and we belong to him. He says, "I will strengthen you. When you're weak, I will strengthen you." I remember sitting in that meeting and feeling about this big and feeling like I could do nothing except for cry out to him. He says, "I will help you." So I took that as, "Okay, Lord, you're going to help me learn Spanish. You're going to help me grow. Even when I don't want to or don't feel like learning Spanish." Because believe me, there's days where I didn't. There were days I wanted nothing to do with anybody. And he says, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He's going to hold us there. We're sitting in the palm of his hand, aren't we? With him holding us, nothing's going to knock us over. And also, I like to think about that time as, you know, when the story about the potter and the clay. And in Jeremiah 18:1-6, it says, "The word came that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, 'Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words.' So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to do." How many of you have ever tried to do pottery in art class? Yeah, let me tell you, mine's never been pretty. But you know what? We're that clay. You know, a lot of times we as humans like to think we're something special. We're only special in God's hands. When we allow him to mold us into another vessel that he's going to use for his glory, that's when we're special. We're special to him. How many of you like fine china or blown glass and you have it up in a... Yeah. He's got this whole huge china cabinet of us. Because he loves us and he wants to use us. And then in Isaiah 64:8 it says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." Isn't that awesome to think of? We are all the work of his hand, even if we don't know him as our Savior. You're still a work in God's hand. It's taken me quite a long time to get over that. That's that time of depression, that season of depression. But you know what? The Lord allows us to walk through dark valleys to change us and to mature us so that we may be useful tools for his glory. It's not always going to be easy. And sometimes it may be very, 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 very dark. But you know what? He's the light at the end of that tunnel. He's right there when you fall flat on your face because you failed again. He's saying, "Give me your hand. Let's walk this together until it's finished." Just want to continue on here a little bit. Just got a little more to go. I'm going to sing for you a song that the Lord used to bring comfort to my heart during that time. But before I do, just keep going with our presentation about what we do during our CLA time. So when we arrive in Paraguay, we're assigned a church. Yes, we are assigned a church. We don't get to pick. We were assigned to Iglesia Bautista Gethsemane, or Gethsemane Baptist Church. And it's a small church, but you know what? They've become our family. And we receive texts on a daily basis, "Please come home, we miss you." And so, which makes us yearn for Paraguay even more. So it's like, do I stay here with my family, or do I go back to my other family? But you know what? The Lord has us here right now. And soon we will be back there. So, but in the church, this is where our main ministry is right now because we're still in language study. We're involved with the praise team. I also am one of the worship leaders. And believe me, this was a step outside of my comfort zone because it was completely in Spanish. Yeah. But you know what? The Lord used that to grow my Spanish. And I knew that if I wanted to grow in my Spanish, that I was going to have to make tough decisions and do the hard things. We're also involved with the youth group. I'm the youth leader, currently not the youth leader, but technically the youth leader. And this was also a step outside of my comfort zone as I've had to start preparing lessons and teaching and getting laughed at by 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids because I used the wrong word. But It's been a growing experience for us. My wife, she's heavily involved with the kids club that we have every Saturday. She teaches the little kids. And then also she's heavily involved with ladies' ministries as well. When we return to Paraguay, we will finish our language study. And then after I have reached pretty much the level of almost proficient, I will be able to start my ministry in the mobilization department. What do you guys think mobilization is? Exactly. Working. Oh, you guys cheated. All right, so we'll be working closely with the local church, sharing with them about missions and reaching their own people. We will be developing mission materials and PowerPoints for churches to use, and then we will maintain the mission's website and Facebook page. Woohoo, Facebook. As you can tell, I'm so excited. We will maintain the relationship between the mission and the Paraguayan churches, which is, that part is my favorite. And then we'll introduce Paraguayans to tribal missions through missions trips, which I actually had the opportunity to do before we came home. I took a couple out to two different tribal works, and it was an eye-opening experience for them, especially the one tribe that we visited back in the 40s was known as one of the most aggressive tribes in the country. Even still today, the tribal people that are around them want nothing to do with them, even though there's a good handful of believers there, because they fear them. But it was an awesome experience and good introduction to my new ministry. Our main goal will be maintaining the mission, the relationship between the mission and the church. So important to maintain that relationship, not only with the mission in Paraguayan churches, but also with our supporting churches. So then that leads up to, how can you be involved? Obviously, you guys are already involved because you receive our updates and you support us. But for those of you who don't and know anything about us, but you want to be praying for us, we have a table out here. You can sign up for our newsletter. For us, prayer is the most important thing that you can do for us. That's what's going to keep us there. That's what's going to help encourage our hearts. And so if you can be involved that way, that would be awesome. Second, you can give. You guys already give to us financially, and we thank you so much for that. Words cannot express how much that means to us. But if you're looking to give in another way, we're looking to purchase a vehicle when we get back. Our first term, we had no vehicle. So we rode the bus every day. We rode taxi until they told us we don't fit anymore, so they won't take us. So we pretty much ride the bus everywhere. As you can imagine, a foreign country, a bus is, they don't have rules like we have here in the United States. You can only have so many people on a bus. No, you're packed in like sardines. So on a hot day, it's not a pleasant trip. So to give you an idea of what a vehicle costs there, here, how much would you guys pay for a good used car you'd buy right off the street? About $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, right around there. In Paraguay, you're looking to double that because of all the import tax and stuff like that. So we're praying that the Lord would provide between $5,000 to $10,000 to help us purchase a vehicle. So if you guys could be praying for that, that would be awesome. Because I really don't enjoy riding the bus. But thirdly, you can go. Obviously, not everybody's going to go and be missionaries overseas. But you know what? You can go here in your community and reach the people in your community. Kids, you go to school, you can reach your friends for Christ. Events you can have in your church, kids programs, holiday programs. Invite your neighbors to come. And lastly, we need to do this together. Colton and Tani can't do it alone. Any other missionary can't do it alone. You guys can't do it alone. We do it together as a body of believers. And we do this until every tribe, language, people, and nation is reached. In Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." And whenever I think of this verse, I think about what it's going to look like when we get to heaven. And there's just going to be this sea of color. Isn't that awesome? And they're all going to be praising God in their own tongue. And he understands each and every word because he created their language. A lot of people, they don't understand how New Tribes just doesn't go in and use a translator. I like to think, you know, God created each language for a purpose, and it's beautiful in its own way. Why not share God's word in a language that they understand? And if you're speaking it, it's going to mean a whole lot more to them if you're using their language. Just so thankful that the Lord has given us the opportunity to go to Paraguay. We might not be working in a tribe, but we're working to help keep people in the tribe so that people will come to know Christ. But he's given us a ministry within the capital city, and we appreciate that so much. And because of you guys, we're able to do that ministry. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you for having us. Before I step down, I'm going to sing for you. This is a song that the Lord used to really touch my heart during that time of depression, just to encourage me. And it's an old song. I can just say old, but it's from my era of college, so we'll just... But I hope you enjoy it.